yourself and be broken in pieces. Assemble yourself from the east, north, south, and west and be broken in pieces. Take your counsels in the regions of the sea and it shall come to naught. Speak your word and it shall not. My assignment is to deprogram you and to reprogram you. I am here to deprogram and to rewire you. You need to be rewired. Are you hearing me, somebody? You know, because one of the things that I must tell you, that I was very angry, but I've dealt with my anger because I know that I need to deal with my anger. When I heard that pastor had passed and he was all alone wherever he was, I was very angry with all of you. Because I said, how come you left him on his own? How come there was nobody with him? My church never leaves me traveling anywhere. I always go with my intercessors. I'm never alone anywhere. I always go with somebody. And when I travel, I have a team with me. Some places when I'm going, I check the place out prophetically, and I have my team flying ahead of me a week, going to that city, check them into a hotel, and let them go around praying without even the church knowing they are there. So I don't just come to town with my Bible to get results. I get a lot of results. And I don't just get results because I just come to town. When I came to town, I didn't sleep the whole night till this morning. I did not sleep the whole night till this morning. And I didn't like the hotel I was, because I was disturbing the neighbors. And I said, I don't care if I have to disturb you for new destiny. Are you hearing me? I got to engage somebody, because I knew what I was coming into. That this is not just, this is war. We are in a war. Are you hearing me, somebody? We are in a war. And you don't do things the same way when you are in a war. You got to change your strategy. Every new challenge demands and requires new strategy. We can't do things the same old way. We got to change our strategy, because we are dealing with new challenges. Every new season comes with its own demands. You don't dress the way you dress in winter when it's summer. And you don't dress the way you dress, you know, when it's summer in winter. You change your dress according to the season. You dress for where you're going. That's why when Joseph heard that the king was calling for him, he shaved his beard. And he dressed for where he was going, not for where he was. A new destiny, you got to rise up, shake this thing off of you, and realize that you didn't come to church for a man, but you came here for the word of God. And as long as the word of God is here, and the Holy Ghost is here, and the praise and the worship is good, and leadership is strong like you have, you got to keep this church alive. You got to make up your mind that you haven't given your tithes and your offering. All these years, you didn't give it to a man. You gave it to God. And it's God that will give you the harvest. And it's God that will reward you. Are you hearing me, somebody? So whether pastor is in town or not, keep giving. Keep sowing your seed. Keep giving your tithe. Keep coming to church. Be steadfast. And God will reward your faithfulness and your loyalty. And I'm mad with the devil, because there are a lot of voices going on right now. I'm hearing all kinds of voices in the spirit. I'm hearing whisperings. In the name of Jesus, lift up your right hand. Say, in the name of Jesus, I silence whisperings. Say, I silence the voice of the adversary. Say, I rebuke the voice of the enemy. In the name of Jesus. Come on, somebody. Get mad with the devil. Kadabusha takahayas. Mandelebro kopahadahas. Melegrebo suparagade. The church is built on the revelation of Jesus Christ. Jesus said, I will build my church upon this revelation that I am the Christ. I am the Christo. I am the Son of the living God. And he said, the gates of hell will not stand a chance. Are you hearing me, somebody? The gate, you know what the gates of hell is? We think the gates of hell is a gate like where my brother is standing. The gates of hell is not a gate. The gates of hell is the strategies of hell. The strategies of the enemy. He comes up with all kinds of strategy to make you think you have no shepherd and how you're going to stay here. You are staying here because the Bible said, hear me, those that are planted in the house of our God will flourish in the courts of our God. God planted you here and in no devil and in no storm gonna uproot you from where God put you. You hear me, somebody? Say yes. One of the reasons why the palm tree is strong and the cedars of Lebanon are strong and they have a long lifespan. The cedar of Lebanon can exist for 120 years. The cedar of Lebanon. And the reason is because the cedars of Lebanon takes root downwards and they bear fruit upwards. Take for instance the palm tree. The palm tree is solid because its roots goes deep down. And watch me, it doesn't matter the wind and the storm that comes at it, it burns like this, but it comes back into place. Are you hearing me, somebody? I don't care what storm has come to town, and I don't care what storm has come into this house, you will stand when the dust settles. New destiny is still going to be here, and I don't care who is talking to you, I don't care what the devil is saying. Jesus is building this church. Are you hearing me, somebody? Say yes. And you have good people like Bishop Jakes overseeing you and Apostle Paula White. You got some good people here. And they're working with you. And I will come every now and then to work with you. But we got to keep this thing going. Now, how many of you believe that one day when Jesus comes, you will see Pastor Zach again? Then I'm telling you, you better hang on and build and take this work to another level and stop hearing whatever the devil is saying out there. I don't care what the enemy is saying. The man did something with his life. And that's why we are all here. I didn't come because of you. I don't know you. I'm here because of him, not you. And I don't just go for anybody. I'm telling you. I have so many churches that want me to come and I don't even have time. I keep counseling. Because I'm very busy where I am. And I'm happy and content where I am. But I'm here because we lost a good man. I'm telling you. We lost a good man. We lost a man that did something with his life. Impacted people. Irrespective of his personal struggles and challenges, he pushed through and did something with his life. So don't sit down there and look at me with that Orlando look. Hallelujah, somebody. I ain't mad with you. I'm just mad with the devil. I'm sick and tired of the devil fooling with God's children. Anytime there's a crisis, the enemy brings up his own message and then he puts up his own strategy there to scatter God's people. This is God's house. And God planted you here and you will stay and continue paying your tithe, giving your offering, supporting the church, and the church is going to grow from strength to strength, from faith to faith, from glory to glory, and God will be glorified. Somebody say yes. Now you hear me. I'm going to say some serious stuff here. And I'll show you why these kinds of things happen that have happened here. Because the church don't get it. And when you have something precious and you don't know it, you lose it. I've always said, I was preaching for Bishop Jakes some years ago at Manpower, and I said to them that it is dangerous when you are dangerous and you don't know you are dangerous, is suicidal. Because if Martin Luther King knew how dangerous he was, and if the people around him knew how dangerous and important that man was, he would have still been alive today. Sometimes God gives us a gift. And a gift is something you cherish, you protect it, you watch jealously over it. And when you don't protect it, you lose it. I want us to begin our journey today. I'm going to show you some things. And what I'm trying to do, by the time I leave here, I want you to catch the prayer virus and become a prayer addict. And I want to lose you into town to drive the devil out of town. Are you hearing? Wherever you go, Satan, somebody got to leave. When you come to town, somebody leaves. And his name is the devil. And I want to say some strong things here, that it is unlawful and it is illegal for God to intervene in the affairs of humanity, family, a church, a community, a city, and a nation until prayer goes up. It's illegal. He said, I sought for a man from among them, not from outside, to stand in the gap before me, that I may not destroy the land. And there was no intercessor. And because there was no intercessor, I have no choice but to destroy the land, because God is a just God. And whenever something is wrong, God has to deal with it. And it takes only the intercessor to hold back the hand of God and to block the enemy. And when people don't intercede and lift up prayers for their leadership, it gives the enemy the advantage over the leadership. And I'll show you something. You come along with me. I'm telling you, I'm just mad. I'm mad at the devil. For the Bible says my people are destroyed for the lack of knowledge. And I'm talking about knowledge different from what you are talking about. I'm not talking about experiential knowledge. And I ain't talking about sense knowledge. I'm talking about pre-nostos. I'm talking about the higher level of knowledge. You see, the other day Jesus said to his disciples, who do men say that I am? And then they said, some say you are John the Baptist, risen from the dead, one of the old prophets, or Elijah, Jeremiah. And Jesus said, that is man's opinion of me. That is how the public views me. But Jesus said, ye that have been with me and hung with me all these years, how do you define me? Who am I? And everybody was quiet because they depended on their limited senses. This thing here is limited. And suddenly Peter broke out of the realm of reasoning to the realm of revelation and downloaded divine intelligence. And said, thou art the Christ, the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus said, Peter, if you have lived 1,000 years on earth and read every book in the libraries of our world, you would have never come up with just what you came up with. And he said, this has nothing to do with flesh and blood or your age or how long you've been in the church, but this is from my Father which is in heaven. And he said, your name is Simon, unstable, but now I change your name from Simon to Peter, a rock. And he said, upon this rock, and the rock here stands for revelation of who Jesus Christ is. The church is built on the revelation of Jesus Christ. It's not built on men, it's not built on your family. It's not built on Pastor Zach and his wife. It's built on the revelation of Jesus and of who Jesus is. It's not built on me. It's not built on Bishop Jakes. It's not built on Apostle Paula White. It's built on the revelation of Jesus Christ. And as long as you stay with the revelation of Jesus Christ, of who he is, Christ and whom him crucified, dead and rose on the third day, ascended on high, far above all the heavens, above all principalities and powers, seated on the right hand of the Father, ever to live it to make intercession for the church. As long as you stick to the revelation of Jesus Christ, your church will move from strength to strength, from glory to glory, and this church will stand the test of time. Somebody say yes. Don't bind that lie of the devil. I believe in family. But the church is not built on family. It's built on the revelation of Jesus Christ, who was not married and didn't have a wife and children. Turn to somebody and say, don't let the devil fool you. Tell them, this is not a physical property. Say, this is not corporate America. Say, the church is not corporate America. This is the house of God. This is where the pillar of truth is. Say yes. Let the lion in you roar. Somebody lift up both of your hands and talk to the Father right now in other tongues. Shatter highest. Lift it up, lift it up. Open your mouth, lift it up. I need some wailing women to cry out right now. I need some mothers. I need some mothers to cry out. Shataha. Leta kadabahasa. You got to open your mouth. You got to say something. Nothing happens until you open your mouth. Nothing happens until you say something. Shata kadaha. Mandelebo katibaraha. Maranda boko siki paraha. I came to fight the enemy. I came by divine authority. And you better hear me, you owl, you unclean foul spirit. You hear me. Get your loins and you shall be broken in pieces. Make any move and attempt and it shall be interrupted. Speak your word and it shall not stand. Take your counsel and it shall come to naught. For God is with us. Shakadahabaya. Clap your hands and shout somebody. Now, turn your Bibles, if you please, to the book of Acts. Acts chapter 12, verse 5. Acts 12, 5. The Bible said Peter, therefore, was kept in prison. Peter, therefore, was kept in prison. But the Bible said that prayers were lifted up, and prayers was made for Peter unto God. Without season. Say without season. Somebody talk to me. Say without season. Say without season. Prayers were made unto God for Peter without what? Season. And the Bible said, and in the same night that Peter was to be beheaded, an angel of the Lord appeared. An angel of the Lord came on the scene. And didn't go to any other prison in town but the very prison where Peter was kept. Won't you look at me? James had been killed, the brother of Jesus. Stephen was stoned to death, assassinated. Because that time the church was in praying. They saw these men and thought they were heroes and stars and didn't pray. And Stephen was stoned. James, the brother of Jesus, was assassinated. And then the enemy stretched his hands for Peter, the head of the church. And then the church said, no more. Not this time around. Never again. Somebody say, not this time around. Not this time around. Somebody say, not this time around. And somebody say, never again. Never again. And the Bible said, and the church went into prayer. Night and day without ceasing to God. And as a result of the prayers of the church, an angel of Elohim was summoned by the prayers of the church. You see, prayer summons God. Prayer is a summons. Prayer is a subpoena. Prayer puts a summons out before God to deploy heaven. When prayer goes up, heaven comes down. And prayer is the meeting place between divinity and humanity. Prayer is the place where decisions of nations are determined. And let me tell you something. I don't fear anybody who preaches good and teaches good. Because if you can read and write, and you can research, there are many, many materials out there. You can read and research and come and articulate it if you know how to read and write. That don't impress me. You know what? You know the people I fear? I fear the praying mothers. And I fear the praying fathers. And the praying preacher man. And the praying preacher woman. a woman that can preach and a man that can preach, but also knows how to connect with heaven and knows how to go on their knees and influence heaven to intervene in the affairs of men. They are dangerous people. I don't fear you. It doesn't matter how good you preach. If you don't have a prayer life, you have no power. It's just a matter of time. It's just the enticing words of man's wisdom. You've mastered the act of being able to say the right thing and to work people. But the gospel is not about working people. The gospel is about power. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God. Somebody shout yes. Acts chapter 5, chapter 12, verse 5. Acts 12. And now I want you to look at me. Here was Peter, kept in prison. And the enemy thought and believed that he had Peter where he wanted Peter to be. He had it all planned and arranged that I'm going to smite the head of the church. The Bible says, smite the shepherd and scatter the flock. And he targeted Peter, the head of the church. And the church said, we've learned by experience. We saw what happened to Stephen and to James because we were in praying and lifting in a session. And the Bible said, the church said, not this time around. Somebody say, not this one. Come on, talk to me. Say, not this one. And not this time around. Say, never again. Say, don't even try. Say that. Don't even think it. Don't try it. Don't make that move. Don't project it. Don't say it. Don't desire it. Don't feel it. Don't think it. Because it ain't going to happen. And the Bible said, the night before. Read, the night before.
Peter therefore was kept in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him.
Without ceasing. They said, it doesn't matter how long it takes for us to pray till we see a change. We're going to stay. We're going to tarry. You know, the fathers of old and the mothers of old, they didn't have all these words like you and I have. They didn't know all the two steps. In laying claim and hold on your prophecy. They didn't know three steps and four steps and seven steps to breaking through. But they knew how to come and lay at the altar, at the presence of God, and cry out and say, Lord, somebody needs your touch. Lord, that young man needs you. Arrest that young man. Arrest that young woman. Oh, Lord, do something. And God showed up. Today we have a generation that can quote every scripture in the Bible, but are spiritually bankrupt. Eyes have they but can't see. Can't sense, eating with the devil and sleeping with the devil. That's the generation of believers we have today. Tanakadusia, go ahead.
And when Herod would have brought him forth. The same night Peter was sleeping between two
soldiers. Would have brought him forth the next day, the very night, the day before.
Bound with two chains.
Bound
and
with two
the
chains.
Keepers before the door kept the prison. And behold, the angel of the Lord came upon him.
The angel of the Lord came upon
and
him.
And a light shined in the prison.
A light shined in
and
the prison.
And he smote Peter on the side. And raised him up, saying, arise.
Arise. I told you this morning you got to arise.
Arise up quickly.
I told you this morning, tell somebody, I need you to arise. I know you are in chains. I know you are in bondage. I know you are grieving. I know you are in pain. I know you are confused. I know you are disappointed. I know you are grieved. I know you are offended. I know you are hurting. But I still need you to what? Rise. Go ahead.
And his chains fell off from his hands. And the angel said unto him, get up thyself. And bind on thy sandals. And so he did. And he said unto him, cast thy garment about thee, and follow me.
Look at me. Look at me. I want you to understand something. That James died prematurely. Stephen died prematurely. It was not the will of God for Stephen to would have died. Neither was it the will of God for James to die prematurely. And hear me, if the church hadn't prayed for Peter like they did,
Peter also would have been assassinated the next day. And I know there is this mentality, you know, that God is in control. In control of what? He's only in control of those who have submitted their lives to him and are led by the Spirit. I'm telling you. I have escaped all kinds of strategies and strategies of the enemy. My wife has learned something from me. I said, baby, I just do what the Spirit says. And she's learned something. Sometimes I check into hotels and the Lord says, you can't stay here because I'm moving there. And things begin to move in the building. Things begin to move. As soon as I come, there is reaction. I've been to churches and the bishops will ask me, what is it about you? And I say, I don't know. They said, since we invited you, there is all kinds of reactions everywhere. Computers jam, sound system goes up, light up, generator shut down, everything crazy everywhere. And I said, because somebody is very nervous that I'm in town. Hallelujah. Are you hearing me, somebody? Now let me tell you something. If you're a preacher and you go to town and demons are happy and everything is okay and there is no reaction from the devil, it's just a sign that you are not anointed. Because the devil reacts to the anointing. Anointing provokes the devil. Check your Bible. Anywhere Jesus went to town, there was a demonic provocation. The demons cry out, Jesus, Son of the living God, hast thou come to destroy us before our time? Check Peter, the apostles. Everywhere they went, there were chaos. The anointing provokes devils. And today we got so much demons and devils sitting in our churches, occupying position and leadership in the church, and we can't even see it. A lady gave me a check of $50,000 a couple of years ago, and the Lord said, son, don't take it. And I said, don't do what? I rebuke the devil in the name of Jesus. And the Lord spoke. He said, son, that is Jezebel. She wants to buy your anointing. And I will show you some things about Jezebel tomorrow and how she works in the church. And God said, don't take it. He said, as soon as you take it, there will be an exchange. Because money is a medium of exchange. And God said, she's giving you something to buy something from you. So I didn't take the money. And she was so mad and upset. That I've never seen any man of God. You can't walk. And she talked and I said, baby, no problem. God bless you. Just thank you. Thank you. Thank you. And I didn't take the money. 2 years after, the Lord revealed her. And it came out clear of who she was. And I said, God, look at this. I want to preach in the church. And when I finished preaching, they gave me an offering. And the Lord said, don't take that offering. Give it back to the church. And I said, God, why are you messing with me? I need this money. You keep making me lose money. And you remember, yeah, somewhere in Europe, I won't mention the rent place, in Europe. And they brought the money to my hotel at 12 in the morning, 12 midnight. And I said, no, God bless you. I just want to sow it back to the church. And the pastor said, nobody has ever rejected offering from me. What is the problem? Did it went through to you? I said, everything was beautiful. And I said, I just want to sow it back to the church so I can be blessed. And I can get a harvest back from God. He went 2 hours later. He came back. 2 in the morning. Called my room. He said, you need to take the offering. I said, pastor, let me tell you something. I said, it's either you are good ground or bad ground. He said, I'm a good ground. So I said, if you're a good ground, why are you preventing me from sowing seed so I can get my harvest? So I said, take the offering. Later, the Lord told me why he told me not to take the offering. And it just blew my mind, because apparently that pastor and some other pastors had met and they were talking, and there was this thing like, I came to preach because I needed money. And I didn't know it. So it was later, another pastor told me that the pastor told them that I didn't take the offering, and they said, you know what, he heard our conversation. And I wasn't there. I didn't hear anything they said. And it was the other pastor who told me that they had discussed it. And that was the perception and impression the enemy has put there about me. And God said, I want you to disabuse it. And I didn't even know why I shouldn't receive the offering. And I didn't want, I wanted to take it. It was some good money. Don't look at me like you don't like money. Hallelujah. Declare, get yourself and be broken in pieces. Assemble yourself from the east, north, south.